few weeks ago, we actually last week we started a new series. That series entitled Special Ops, a field manual for living in a hostile world. We learned last week that we have a new identity. And you're actually a deployed people in enemy territory. And you learned that you've got a new identity. So all of us have come up with this week, we're spies. We've been given a new identity. We are deployed. We're actually on assignment. Today we're going to learn that there is a great benefit package associated with our deployment. So we learned about that in this field manual. According to Glassdoor or job site, 57% of all job seekers consider employer-provided benefits among the top considerations for taking a job. The core benefits for most companies we know are things like health insurance and vacation, PTO, time off, and 401k plans, and retirement plans, matching, and those sorts of things. There's also oftentimes a dental and vision insurance, as well as maternity and paternity leave. And so employers offer this to incentivize people to come and work for their companies. But some companies now are taking it to the next level. For example, Amazon offers leave share. And what leave share does is it pays your spouse if his or her company doesn't offer paid time off. So it would be like your spouse can't work for some reason. They will pay, and his company or her company doesn't provide paid leave, they'll pay your spouse for that company. It's pretty nice. They also grant back for new moms. So as new moms have their babies and they start entering back into the workforce, they let them come in slowly and kind of get used to coming back, ramping back into the workforce. American Express offers new mothers and fathers 5 months fully paid leave, the paternity leave. And they also offer 6 to 8 weeks full pay leave medical leave. So when a woman's having a baby, not only does she get the 5 months, but she can also have 6 to 8 weeks in addition to that as medical leave as an incentive to get good employees to come and be there. The consulting firm Deloitte offers 2 sabbatical programs. One is a 1 month unpaid leave for any reason at any time. So you go, hey, I need some time. I'm going to go for a month, check out, and I'll see you in August. And take it off. So that's pretty easy. They also have another sabbatical program that for 3 to 6 months, you can receive 40% of your pay, and you can be completely away from work during that 3 to 6 month period, so long as you're going and seeking personal growth opportunities. And on top of these types of things, maybe you might have heard of the latest trends. The latest trends are that employers will offer fully stocked break rooms. They'll have the refrigerators fully stocked, the pantries fully stocked, so that anytime someone wants to go eat something to drink or something to eat, they can just go in there and everything's completely stocked. You might have heard that they have these relaxation stations where you can just, if you're feeling stressed out or you got something going on and you just need a break, well, then you can just get up and you can go to this place and sit in some sort of pod that looks like an egg and have some wonderful soothing music and just take you a little nap so that you can refresh and come back and work harder the second half of the day. They even have gaming stations areas where if you want to go and blow off some steam and maybe play some Fortnite or something, you can do that. You can go play some video games. But the point is they're trying to incentivize people to do good work. And they're trying to show that they care about their employees when they do that. That's what they do. And they also know that people today, they're not just working for a paycheck. People today want to be cared for. They want to have some benefits. But if people today are like, if you want me to sell out to you, then you've got to sell out to me. You've got to show me that you care about me And it's not just through a paycheck, but that's also through these other types of benefits. So we people today who will work really hard if it's worth it. And so, and I believe God wired it that way. I don't think that's a negative thing. I really think that people want what benefits them. And now when that gets out of control, yes, that can lead to a simple place. But again, think about it. We all want what benefits us. That's what keeps you on the right side of the road when oncoming traffic comes. The benefit to you is that you get to live if you just stay in your lane. And so you stay in your lane. And so there's all kinds of things like that. What keeps me from doing stupid stuff is that I want to live. I want my life to go better. And so we do things that are beneficial. And I do believe that God wired us that way, even though sometimes we pervert it. Because God tells us that not only are we to love Him with all our heart, soul, and strength, but we're also to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Right? And so that means that that I do love and care for myself and want myself to be provided for. And therefore, in the same way in which I want to be provided for, I will try to make sure that my brother or sister is also provided for. So God, I do believe, put that there. Most people are motivated by the reward. It helps us stay faithful in the face of trouble. It helps us to continue to put up with the hard times so that we because we know there's a payday coming. There's a benefit along the way. And God also has a benefit package for His people. You know that? There's a benefit package. So last week was that you have a new identity. You are the called out people of God. He has chosen you. He has pulled you out of this world, and He has made you His people, placed you inside of His kingdom. Even though you're here right now, you're behind the enemy lines, you're deployed on assignment, you have this identity, and He wants you to know that there's what needs to be great benefit for His people. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. As we consider these benefits, they help us stay faithful. They help us continue in faithfulness. They help us to remember that God loves us. They help us remember that we're not working in vain. These benefits help us to stay dedicated to the task at hand, because we know that in the end, there's going to be significant, phenomenal, life-changing, world-changing, universe-changing, unbelievable benefits for us. It's going to be a lot better than stock bravery, if you will. So we're in 1 Peter. We're technically in verses 3 through 12. It's all one long sentence in the Greek, but we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 today, and we'll come back to the rest of it next week. So verses 3 through 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what he said. And then he ended this great message. But before we get to that time, I want to see verse number 5. There's a blessing here. And he tells us, he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. I want us to know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is worthy to be praised for our salvation. If you are born again, if you are a Christ follower, then God is worthy of our praise. When we sing, He's worthy of our praise. When we walk, He's worthy of our steps. When we breathe, He's worthy of everything about Him. I think about growing up, and we used to be at church services, and people would just get happy. I mean, I don't know if that happened here. It was a bad church, I promise. That's impossible, I guess. I don't know. But people just say, bless God. This is just a shout out. Bless God. Like today, you can say amen occasionally, you know, or pray to the Lord. It's just bless God. Bless God. And it's just this cry of the heart that God is worthy of blessing. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of recognition. He's worthy. And we have to bless Him.
The same way, you know, we bless these children. We ask God's blessing over them. And we're saying we recognize these people. We recognize that we our desire is that God would work in their families to produce godly men and women, that we carry on His message. But when we bless God, we're saying that He is the only one worthy of the praise. He is the only one. And the reason is because of His salvation. As we see here, because of all the benefits that come along with that. The first benefit I want you to see today is that when you come to Jesus, you find mercy. When you come to Jesus, you find mercy. So many people, I believe, they really avoid God, making a just God based upon sometimes people. You know, sometimes I'm not very merciful to people. Sometimes I'm not very merciful to my wife, my kids, and maybe I'm not very merciful to you at times. And that's, you know, my part of it. But what happens is oftentimes we tend to judge God based upon His people. So we judge God based upon the way His people act. And God wants you to know that you don't have to avoid Him, because if you come to Him, you're not going to find condemnation. You're going to find mercy. You're going to find love. He wants you to know that it's okay to come to Him. A lot of people think they avoid God because they think, well, I've got this horrible sin in my life and I need to fix my life up before I can get right with God. Well, I want to say that is not the way it works. That you, it's actually, hear me, it's impossible to fix your life up, get your life right before you get right with God. It's impossible because getting right with God is actually what it means to get your life. You think, well, He's going to judge me for all this sin. Right now, God's giving mercy. Right now, He's giving mercy. That's what He does. He gives mercy. Well, maybe I don't want to have to work off my sin, and I don't want to have to make up things. You know, God said you can't work off your sin. It's impossible. You find mercy when you come to Him. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That is, when you bow your heart to God, when you make Him your key, when you say, Lord, I was wrong, and you're right, and you come to Him, you're not going to find condemnation, you're not going to find judgment. What you're going to find is mercy. And this verse in Titus says that He washes, He regenerates you. That is, He's the one who makes you do that regeneration. That's not you making you do. That's not you having I'm going to have turn the page. I'm going to start over. I'm going to have a New Year's resolution, or I'm going to have a Mother's Day resolution. No. It's when you yield your life to God that He regenerates you through His Spirit. That is His work in you. It says He's the one who does the washing. You're not washing yourself. You're not making yourself. It's impossible for us to do that. And Jesus also understands what you've been through. You say, well, you know, I've been through some pretty bad stuff. I pray God will forgive me. I can understand you doing that. That's not the truth. I can understand feeling like you've done some things that the dogs and everything. No one knows about it. Guess what? God, He's still offering you mercy. He's still offering you forgiveness. He's still offering you His love. He calls it great mercy. You see, today is a day of great mercy. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, so since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, that is Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, that is by faith in Him, that He is the Christ, the Son of God, that He died for our sins, that He rose from the grave, fourth for me. This way it says in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect, not just part respect, not just in some things, but in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know that temptation you face? Jesus.
in every respect. The Bible says he's been infinite like we have, yet he's without sin. That's why he can offer mercy. Because he paid for it. He paid for our sin. He can offer us that, yet he's left in verse 16. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of what? Grace. That we may receive what? Mercy. And find grace to help our time. That is because God knows what you've been through, because Jesus has been tempted in every way, in the same way we have, and he was without sin. Even though he was tempted, we fall, he made it through. He didn't sin. Because of that, we can draw near to him. We can come to God. Jesus is our bridge to God. We can come to him with confidence and find help in our time of need. We can find grace and mercy. That's what he said. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes where I need grace and mercy. Sometimes I need great mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is when we don't receive what we deserve. And I think oftentimes we know what we deserve. Maybe there's some guilt in there. Maybe there's some things we're just trying to hide and suppress. But we don't want to come to God because we know what we deserve. But you know what? God gives mercy. He gives forgiveness. He's not going to give you what you deserve if you accept his mercy, his forgiveness, through Jesus. Right now, God wants us all to receive that mercy. He wants us to accept. Today is the day of salvation. And the question I would ask for you is, do you need God's mercy? Right now. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe you've blown it in some way. Maybe there's some area of your life where you just close your mouth. Maybe it's something to grieve it, but maybe it's just not something to grieve it. It's just like, you're kind of like, I want to do my own thing. It's my own life. And you try to put it together this year, but in the end, you kind of know that you kept God at arm's length, you rejected him, and you want his mercy now. His spiritual work in your life. He said you can come to him and ask for it. Hebrews 9:27-28 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes to judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting from him. That is the first time Jesus came to deal with sin. So he could offer us mercy. He died on the cross. And he was a perfect sacrifice. And God accepted that sacrifice. He raised him up to the grave. And we know that God accepted that. And Jesus offers you and me forgiveness based upon how Jesus lived a perfect life. He paid for our sin on the cross. And so, in essence, God was taking your sin and my sin and placing it on Jesus when he died on the cross. And God now, for all those who come to him asking for mercy, God now takes the righteousness of Jesus, the perfect spotlessness of Jesus, the without sinness of Jesus, and gives it to you. And that's his mercy. He gives us something that we don't deserve. And he doesn't give us what we do deserve. The Father wants to give us great mercy. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, he gives you forgiveness and freedom from sin. That's what he does. In Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, very familiar verses, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That is, you are free from the requirements of the law because you are in Christ Jesus. If you've accepted his forgiveness, if you've accepted his mercy, and maybe today you know you haven't done that, even right now, upon the call, say, Lord, I want to be your person. I will receive your forgiveness based on what Jesus did for me. The Bible says you will receive that mercy for yourself. Do you need to be set free from condemnation, sin, and death? The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us for that purpose. For that purpose. If you had a need, man, let's say you had a need. I don't know what you need. Let's say you needed transportation from here to Lexington.
You have, and there's somebody over here that said, hey, you know what? I'm going to provide transportation for your election and for whoever needs it. And all you got to do is say, I can get there on my own. I need help. Will you help me? Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you take that? Well, that's what Jesus has done. But there's people that don't want to accept because they're afraid they're going to be condemned. He says there's no condemnation. There's people that don't accept it because they're I've got to work it out. Oh, he says, you can't work it out. You can't. It's a free gift provided for you and for me. That's a benefit. Mercy is benefit. When you blow it, you're receiving this what? Mercy, no condemnation. You mess up, mercy, no condemnation. Second benefit. We are blessed God because He has caused you to be born again. That is, He has given you a new life. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you are His people, He caused you to be born again. He's given you new life. This term, born again, actually means to beget. Beget. So God, or begetting. That is, you are begotten of God. Another way to say that is that you are born of God. You're born of God. So we dedicated these children, they're born of their parents. They're born of their mother. They're born of their mother. They proceed from their mother. Their mothers have begotten them or bared them, the way you say it. They have bared them. And the father bears the begotten, the beget. And so the father, you, as children of God, are born again. That means you are the child of God, you are from God now. You're no longer from your mom or dad. You're no longer from the world. You're no longer from Adam, the one who sinned in the garden. You are now from God, the God from Him. You proceed from Him. You are His people. And this is a benefit, this new birth that He gives you, this new life that He gives you. It is a benefit to you. Because now, all the things in the past are in the past. There's hope for the future. There's all these things that we are talking about. In verse 23 of this chapter, it says, believers are said to be begotten by the imperishable seed of God's Word. Begetting by seed directs our attention to the Father's role in producing children. A lot of people want to say, well, what do I have to do? Well, God's done it through Jesus. Father has done it through Jesus. You know, there's some things that as a child I just can't do. I need someone to do it for me. And I think this, the other thing is that none of us are responsible for our own birth. Are we? You remember all the things that you had to do to be born? You were floating around in the womb, you started tickling your mom's belly. You started kicking really hard and let me out of here. No. You're not responsible for your birth. It's something that happens to you. It's something that others do. That's what he's saying. The focus is on God's initiative to produce a new life in us. And this new life is not just a salvation experience. And please hear me here. This is a new life moving forward. It is not just a salvation experience that happens once at a time. It is a new birth into a new life that starts today and moves forward. It starts at that moment and moves forward. It's a new life. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, and actually 3 through 23, when Jesus talks about that God so loved the world, and that verse that we all know. A guy named Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Nicodemus is the leader of the law. He's a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. And he comes to Jesus and says, we know that you are a man of God. You're sent from God because no one can do the things that you're doing unless they're from God. And Jesus looks at Nicodemus and he says, unless you're born again, begotten of God, born of God, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you have a new line that starts, and then they just confuse me. What's the deal with that? Am I to go back into my mother's womb again and be reborn? He goes, oh, no. You've got it all wrong, man. You don't seem to understand, even though you're a teacher of law. He says, I can tell you. Those who are born of the flesh are flesh, and those that are born of the spirit are spirit. He said, unless a man be born of water, that is the natural birth, and be born of the spirit, that is born again, begotten of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't see it. You can't get that. And then he talks about something from the spirit. He said, the wind blows, it comes and goes, you don't know where it comes from or where it goes from. Goes to. But what you do is you see the effects. You see the trees move. You see, and so this is your born spirit. So when you're born again, you actually have the Spirit of God living in you, giving you a new life as you yield yourself to the Spirit, as you walk with Him. This is what it means to be born again. It's not just a thing that happened when I was 8 years old, and now I've got my fire insurance ticket, and I'm just waiting for Jesus to bring back an empty bucket to take me to heaven. That is not what. That's not what being born again is. It is begotten from God. Now I am God's child. You are God's child. To live for Him in submission to Him every single day of your life. It's not overcome the Spirit. It starts there, yes. Thank God for it. But it is the same being the child of God. Living for Him. Being His people. Living in His kingdom. Being the to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old life, the old Tony, the worldly Tony, the sinful Tony, the Tony that's dying and going to hell, the Tony that would deserve everything he got, the Tony that didn't, all of that, that Tony has found grace. That Tony has found mercy. That Tony has been born again. And he said, the old is passed away, that guy's gone. Behold, the new has come. Begotten God. You are begotten God. His child. John 1:12-13. But to all who did receive him, who received his forgiveness, received his sacrifice, that who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, begotten of God. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That is, new birth, being born again, by being saved. Saved seems like we made it to the finish line. The saved, I'm finally saved. I don't know why I did that. Man, we're all saved. We put slacking off now. No. We're saved and growing up because we're born again. That is, we have being saved starting line. Not the thin line of the rest, it's the beginning of being the people of God. And then you walk with God day in and day out. We're born of God. Are you born of God? Are you born of Him? I didn't ask if you prayed a prayer if you were eight. I didn't ask if you walked an aisle. I didn't ask if you were baptized. Are you born of God? Being his child is a great advantage. Being his student. God wants to give us new life. Are you God's child? The third thing that you have is a living hope. A living hope. Let me go back to born again. Oftentimes we get saved to go to heaven. Don't we? We're born again, we stay, we pray, we to go to heaven. That's what is in our mind, to go to heaven. Well, heaven's a benefit. Two. We surrender our lives to Christ, and He is now our King. We live for Him. That's being born again. We don't just pray a prayer, surrender to Christ, say, I believe in Him, to go to heaven. Heaven's a benefit. Actually, what we do is we surrender our lives to God and say, God, with your help, through your Spirit, I'm going to live my life for you, accepting your forgiveness. And then when we live our lives, we work as He calls us to as His people. We are His people, and we live our lives. That's what
in the territory, your citizenship, and what he says is, you serve me, you live for me, and guess what? You even die for me. And I've actually lived for you. There is a next one. But we surrender to God, really to live for him, to serve him. Now, the living hope. The living hope. This means that we have hope that is with us at all times. He said, one of the benefits of salvation is that you don't have to lose hope regardless of how bad things are, regardless of how things are messed up. Even you might have been the one that messed them up. You might have been the one that completely destroyed, but in God's eyes, you still have hope. It's not too late for you. You see people that just made a bad mistake. In the world's eyes, hopeless. You done messed up your life. In God's eyes, you have a living hope. You're still hoping. You're still living. You're still hanging on. You're still walking with him. You're still talking with him. He's still going to use you. You're still his child. He doesn't throw you back. You're a human. It's not a hope as a wish, but it is a reality that allows you to place confidence in something. And that something is not in yourself, and you're right, but your ability to make everything right, but your confidence is in him and his ability to make everything right. And when I say everything right, it does not just mean that all your circumstances of life are going to go right, because we know that's true, but not true. We know that circumstances of life go bad. We know that there's difficulties from time to time. We know that there's trouble. We know that there's something called cancer. We know that there's something called drunk driving. We know that there's something called addiction. We know that there's something called divorce. We know that life, but God says you have a living hope that transcends all of that in him. A living hope through the resurrection, he said, of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, because Jesus rose from the grave. Because he says you will raise too with him in that last day. You have a hope that transcends this life. You can live this life and face everything it throws at you because you know that you have another life waiting. And you know that because Jesus rose from the grave. I think about that song we used to sing. Remember the song he lives? I'm going to sing it. First verse, of course. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. That empty grave there proved my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future, and life is worth a living just because he lives. That's the living hope. That's your benefit for being in the family of God. That you have a Jesus' triumph over death gives you a confidence of your own to triumph over anything that this world throws at you, over any mistake that you have made, over anything that the world says about you, even over martyrdom. You have triumph already because he is. It's the ultimate gift. If you give your life for Jesus, you say, Lord, I'm accepting your life. I need you. Lord, I'm giving my life to you because you gave your life to me. Jesus says, oh yeah, well, by the way, you haven't turned off. He comes with a job. He comes with a spring. That's amazing. Also, being saved, again, is not about sin. It's a benefit. It's about entering into this family of God, living in the kingdom of God. And our deployment is not over. Think about that. Let's just think about it. We send a bunch of soldiers. Let's say we send a bunch of soldiers over to the battlefield to deploy them. And they just get in the barracks and they don't believe. Like we give them the best armor they can have, the toughest bullets they can have. We give them the best vehicles that they will not get blown up when they drive down the road and hit bomb. We give them everything, the best that we can give them, and they're afraid and they just stay in the bomb. We even have drones flying around overhead making sure to fight some of the battles for them that they don't even know about. Right? I think all times make that something. They were held up, afraid to go out there and fight the battle that God gives them. And the battle is not against people, as we learned today. It is against the evil. It's against Satan. The people out there are the problem. They're also prisoners of war, just like you and I were. And God sends us out to the battlefield to rescue our losing brothers and sisters from the evil one. And He's given us all of our armor and given us all of our protection to do that. Here's the way Jesus says this in Matthew 16, 24 to 27. It says, Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, as in his life right now, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life loses, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will the profit of man if he takes the whole world and shortens his soul? Or what shall man give the return to his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels and the glory of the Father, and then he will repay his person according to what he has done. And so he says, accept my mercy now, accept my forgiveness now, accept new life, accept the living hope now, and live your life in deployment, on active duty for me. Live your life for me. Don't worry about losing your life in service of me. Go live. And you're going to save it. The outpouring of you being the people of God and that God's got you taken here. But your deployment's over. Even if you give your battle to your life and battle to this world, God can bring you up. And all of us, in one way or another, will give our lives to Him. Let it be that you trust in God. I think the positive way of saying this is you abandon your will and your purpose, surrender your life to live for God and His will and His purpose. You can have confidence of your reward in resurrection. And that brings us to the fourth thing that He has guaranteed your inheritance. Guaranteed. Bless God because He has called us to be born again into an inheritance. You have inheritance, but it comes with being a child of God. Did that go like everything in? I wish somebody, not anybody I know, right? But like somebody in my family living over in Scotland or you're going for a journey somewhere that's about 107 years old would die and they do wealthy, and they give me an inheritance. That would be pretty cool, right? I'm sorry to say that. They are 107. So, but I'm sure you're 107, you want to make 108. But anyway, so, you know, I'm going to have an inheritance. Well, what could be better than an inheritance from God? I mean, better than any person that denies Jesus, because that inheritance is not going to be left behind when we die. That inheritance is going to be an inheritance that goes on forever. It's just an inheritance. Let me run through all the things that are in this benefit. This benefit, you're going to receive a new sky and a new earth. You know that? You will inherit what? The earth. You're going to inherit the sky. So in this phrase, if you have inheritance, you're going to inherit a new world. Without sin and corruption, you say amen. All of them. It's going to be good. No way in the sky inclusion. No allergies over here sneaking guys. There'll be none of that. You will receive an incorruptible body. Wouldn't that be good? All of y'all are going to be surprised when you get to heaven and you have a glorified body and it looks like mine. I hope it looks like the rock. We're going to get an incorruptible body. It's not going to die. It's not going to decay. It's not going to get diseased. There's not going to be any of that. There's not going to be any pimples for the teenagers. It's none of that. It's just going to be great. This is that right here in Europe. You will receive endless provision. Endless provision. You're not going to be working because you have to live. the endless provision. And you will be in a perfect relationship, not only with one another, but with God. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You come to your head. You're going to be walking up the street with God. It's going to be like pain. It's going to be that's the kind of pain. Never sin. Never mourn. Never cry.
Why? Because Satan vanquished.
And Jesus came.
We've seen that, right? He was vanquished. That's the benefit there. And then listen, guess what? This is not like earthly pension programs and Social Security. Now this is a hot topic for us, right? Someone borrowed from Social Security and now there's not going to be enough in the future and all this stuff and all this money. Guess what? This is what God says about his benefit program. Guaranteed, imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing. You can work your life for the company. You can work your life for the state. You can work your life for the feds. There's no guarantee. You can put in Social Security all you want. There's no guarantee. We know that. We know that. We can barely balance our own checkbook. The government's actually trillions and trillions of check. It's like $20 or $4 trillion worth of debt. Don't put your faith and all of that. You're probably not going to be there when you get there. God says his inheritance will not go away. No one borrows from it. Guaranteed. Unsaved. And that brings us to the last thing we said. Probably the greatest. He is guarded with you. He's not just guarding the inheritance. He's not just up in heaven making sure that everything's okay in heaven and making sure that Satan's not attacking heaven. He don't care. I mean, Satan doesn't have a chance. But what he is doing, God is guarding you, his people. That's what he says. He's guarding us. Who by God's power, not by my power, not by your power, not by your power not to ever mess up again, not by my power to never mess up again, not by his power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that spoke the universe and the world and everything in it into existence in a moment's notice, that same power is the power with which God is guarding you, his people. That's a powerful man. I mean, you can go live for him because he's got your back, he's got your six, your cousin. It's amazing. You're not kept saved by your own power, you're not kept by your own saved by your ability to be sinless. Jesus was sinless for you. You're not kept by your own power to make all the right decisions in the world because you're going to mess it up. All of us do. If you can make a right decision today, you look back tomorrow and realize it was the wrong one. Because that's what we do. You're not guarded by that power. You're guarded by God because you've accepted his pardon of sin through the death of the Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are assured of safety. Because he paid such a great price for you. He's going to guard you. He's going to protect you. And this, again, I'm not just talking about regular stuff. Some of us in here are going to get cancer. We live long enough for all of us. Some of us are going to die of heart attack. Some of us are going to have heart attacks. Some of us are just going to just die of old age. I'm just not talking about that. I'm talking about this inheritance, this guarded you, that you are God's people. There's nothing in this world that can throw at you. He has guarded you. You are safe. This is what John 10:28 says. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. It didn't say you won't perish if you don't mess up. It didn't say you won't perish as long as you keep it up to the grindstone. It didn't say you won't perish as long as you keep attending church services, as long as you keep doing all the religious stuff. He didn't say any of that. He says, no, you will never perish, and no one will snatch them, that is you, his people, out of my hand. In verse 29, my Father who has given them, that is you, to him, is given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The picture here is that you're double crushed. Jesus says, I have you in my hand because the Father gave you to me, and I'm not going to let you go regardless. Noah. And then he said, the Father's even greater than I am, and he's got you in his hands, and no one's able to get you out. You are double clutched. You're in the hands of God. You are protected. You are guarded. You are safe. And nothing can do you.
Salvation is often thought of in the past. That moment when we were young, that the first initial experience, maybe you were taking life to the Lord as an adult or older community or something, but oftentimes we think of salvation as the past. And then there's a sense in which salvation is in the present, that we are being saved, the Lord, when we yield to the Spirit and the law. But here, we're talking about your salvation, is going to come. It's going to come real. Means that God will rescue you from his judgment on the day of wrath because his son Jesus saved us. No evil will befall you, nor will God's wrath befall you because it is confessed. So today, the invitation is this. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I've never been born again. I've never asked God for his mercy. But he wants you. And today you're here to say, I want that life. I want this new life. I want to live in the kingdom of God. I want that. Well, if right now, if you just call out to God for his mercy, he'll hear it. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a church home. Maybe you're like, I want to be in a people of God, a place where I can see his hand working with other people. He says, I want to be joined with a fellowship. If God called you here, then you can come forward and we'll talk to you and help you know how to do it. Maybe you're here today and it's a reminder, it's a refreshing for you because you've been listening to the amazing life of Satan and you've been kind of afraid and you've just kind of keeping everything close to the chest and you're like, no, God's got a great benefit package for me and he's called me to go out there and live my life with him and I'm going to trust him and I'm going to do it. You just want to bless God for all that he promised you. Let's do that today, sister. Let's all stand.